you would take your Bibles and turn to two brief passages from the Psalms. One probably would not even need to read, except perhaps you might have to start at the beginning of the 23rd Psalm to figure out exactly where to go with all of that. And then the second passage is in Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. As we think this morning a little bit about the need for restoration. Psalm 23:3. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. And in Psalm 51:10 through 12, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. It's very rare that I only take one or two verses to do anything with on a Sunday morning, but decided to kind of do that this morning. Although in seminary days I took three verses and produced a 60-page paper. And then some. But you don't want to hear all of that. That is the paper. But usually when we look at the 23rd Psalm, we most of the time look at the whole thing. But today I want to focus on that phrase, He restores my soul. And what it leads into, He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. As we reflect on the need for both spiritual restoration and refreshment, I don't know about you, but when we become Christians, we often have a great deal of zeal at first, and we expend a lot of energy in trying to live a good Christian life. I really haven't figured out the difference in good Christian and Christian. Although some people claim that there are bad Christians as well. But it would seem that the word Christian would summarize it all. We seek to clean up things that we see as questionable in our lives, make all the meetings possible, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every time there's a revival. Go out and tell others about Jesus, and wear ourselves out in a lot of other ways, trying to be a good Christian. And while we are invigorated early on by the idea of God's love and forgiveness, we often get tired and find ourselves needing the restoration that we're trying to give to everybody else. And all of us experience that as Christians. And we experience it even if we're non-Christians. That is the tiredness. After all, with we Christians, it can be physically and emotionally exhausting since we've got to do it all ourselves. I had a fellow the other day, this is just a little aside, I was chatting with, and he was telling about a person working for him that had worked for a while in this area and then went down to the low country for 4 or 5 years and is now back here. And he said, I know that the Lord brought him back here so I can get him saved. Awfully tough chore. But we don't save anybody. It's God who saves, though we do have to do our part. Former professor at Southern Seminary and a pastor in Louisville, Kenneth Chafin, tells of a conversation that he had many years ago with Dr. Duke McCall on this subject. And he said, Dr. McCall looked at him and said, Kenneth, I don't know anything more dangerous for a Christian than to get just terribly tired because it destroys your whole perspective. Chafin says that at that point he came to realize that Even work we love gets to be too much and drains us, sometimes bringing confusion and disorientation. I mean, after all, we're not machines that can keep up a blistering pace. We are persons. We grow tired and weary. We get burdened. And we become in need of all kinds of restoration. Physical, mental, and spiritual. Even Jesus went aside to pray very often early in the morning because he needed to be renewed and refreshed for the day. This gives us the assurance that God understands our need for restoration. And you know what? God is in the business of restoring life. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes, though, we seek to hide our need for restoration. That happens to be an occupational hazard of some of us who are in vocational ministry at all levels. We sometimes try to hide the need for restoration. We try to hide it from each other, and sometimes we even try to hide it from God, thinking that we can do it all. We put on layer after layer of things that insulate us and hide our needs. However, under those facades, there is a beauty that lies at the core of our being. A beauty that God wants to restore, and sometimes we forget is there. But God wants to restore it if we will allow it. A beauty that is within us. After my grandfather Hearn died, it'll be 26 years ago this coming May, and my grandmother and my aunt that lived with them moved into a smaller place, any of the children and grandchildren were told, if you want to come by the old house, anything that is left, look it over, you can take it and have it. That is, unless somebody else wanted it, and then you had to kind of work things out. We weren't there for that part of it. We were living in South Carolina. And we were the last ones that got the word and the last ones to get there to their house. My grandfather died 2 months shy of his 93rd birthday. First time he was ever in the hospital to be treated. He was 88 years old for hernia repair because my grandmother said he never should have picked up that lawnmower to change the oil to go down the street and mow the grass for that old man that he mowed the grass for. The guy was in his 60s. My grandfather was 88. When he was 90, he was in the hospital. Again, same reason. But we got there, and there wasn't much left as we went through the house, looking at different things. We did take two twin four-poster beds that were scratched up, but very old. In fact, my grandparents, we found out later, began housekeeping with those two twin beds. We got a few odd pieces of depression glass. A small painted table. And a painted chest of drawers. The layers of black and brown and blue and yellow paint showing through where it had been chipped. Covered with all kinds of paint. The outer layer, kind of a black and brown color. But we needed it. We needed it for the boys, for their clothes. A few years later, my bride got into refinishing furniture. She had watched a Homer Formby's show. I was not a fan of Homer Formby shortly thereafter. But Mary got into refinishing some furniture. And she refinished the little small table. And then she decided to start stripping all the paint off of that chest of drawers to refinish it. Possibly paint it again, didn't know. After days of working the layers of the black brown paint, the blue paint, the yellow paint, and brown paint again were gone. And they revealed a beautiful piece of Tagger Oak furniture with dovetail drawers under all of those layers of stuff. The ugly, worn-out chest that nobody else wanted. And by the way, we found out that was another piece my grandparents started housekeeping with. That ugly, worn-out chest was restored as a thing of beauty through hard work and a loving touch. Sometimes we forget that God sees beyond the layers and wants to restore the beauty and the productivity that was put within us, but that we have allowed to become hidden. David, the author of the psalm, was well aware of the need for restoration in many areas of his life as well. He was a shepherd with all the responsibilities and dangers that that brings. He had his life threatened by Saul later. In fact, Saul became obsessed with doing in David. He had an affair with Bathsheba, and they lost the baby after it was born. He had a son that tried to kill him, and he faced many, many other challenges in his rule and reign as a king. Yet, while we hear the sweetness of his statement, "He restores my soul," it was not just a nice religious platitude. When David looked back on his life and when he penned this psalm, he was a living example of the restoration of the soul by God. We often spout platitudinous statements around church people, like, "Trust God and everything will work out all right." Or, "You just have to accept it as God's will and move on." But these things are often covering our inner hurts and our inner questions. Attempts to get through without losing faith. When what we need is to let God restore our soul. So what does God do in restoring our souls? Sometimes God restores our spirit. Have you ever seen someone whose spirit is completely broken? It's a hurtful thing to see if you've ever witnessed it. In Psalm 51, a penitent David prays out of desperation, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." The joy of your salvation. "And sustain in me a willing spirit." Nothing is more important in living than our spirit. David realized that God doesn't necessarily change the circumstances. Difficult days and nights still come. But God deals with us patiently and lovingly, restoring the spirit within so that we can live the life without. Sometimes God restores our perspective so that we can see things as they truly are. You know, sometimes in the things that happen with us, we lose our objectivity, especially when we get tired, as Duke McCall said to Kenneth Chafin. We lose our perspective and our objectivity, and things get out of proportion. God, in restoring us and giving us a clean heart, can clear our blurred vision and help us to focus again where God wishes we were. God gives us insight and reshapes our perspective so that we realize what and where we should be in relation not only to God, but in relation with others. Sometimes God restores our energy in living a Christian life. We don't have to live it all by ourselves. We can't spend our whole lives in youth retreats, on mountaintops, or on vacation. Although, if Ed McMahon were to ever come to my door, I think I might think about finding a Caribbean island. When Peter wanted to stay on the mountaintop with Jesus and James and John, when the transfiguration took place and Peter made that wonderful statement recorded for all of posterity, "You know, it's a good thing we were here. We'd have missed all this stuff if we hadn't have been." Jesus took them down into the valley to minister. To minister with renewed energy that they had received on the mountaintop, with a restored soul. God will sometimes let us go to the mountain to be renewed, but such a change of pace is not so that we can withdraw. Rather, the mountain, the youth retreats, the vacations are for our energy to be restored for living with our own human nature as well as the human nature of others. Sometimes when God restores our souls, our vision is renewed. You know, sometimes we lose sight of what originally motivated us in our Christian living. Things that used to excite us have become old habits that dull our lives, even sometimes in church. We forget the ultimate purpose of our calling in life, and we get bogged down. But God can restore our vision sometimes by allowing us a little distance in order to renew and restore the soul. And when God restores our souls, David says, it's not just to say, "I feel energized. Now I can sit back and watch what God does." But David says in the 23rd Psalm, "He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake." The restoration of the soul is so that we might willingly and lovingly follow in the right paths. Not for our own benefit, but so that God's kingdom might grow. God is the one who continuously comes to us when we're down, when we're disoriented, when we're discouraged, when we have clouded vision. He comes because we need restoration. He comes to give us a clean heart, a right spirit, a willingness to be restored in the right paths. May we admit our need for restoration. And may we open our hearts so that He might restore our soul. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do come before You with many needs. We so often pray for the needs of others, which we rightly do. But sometimes in doing that, perhaps we are trying to keep from seeing our own need. Help us to open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, to see those places we need restoration, and help us to accept Your restoration, which renews our souls, cleanses our hearts, renews our minds. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 341, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Our invitation is simple. If you've never made a public profession of faith, but you feel God's Spirit leading you to do so, we would welcome you to come and share that with us. If you're in search of a church home and feel that this is where God would have you come, out of which to worship and to work, we would welcome you. If you feel the need to commit anew and to accept God's restoration, our altar is open. hymn number 341, The Lord's My Shepherd.